As we were singing, I was standing behind a bowl of fudge. And I was looking at that fudge and wanting to eat it, but having preached for a few years, I've learned that it's a bad idea to eat things right before you preach, because you always choke. So I exercised incredible self-control. As some of you should have. And I thought of that silly line from that silly movie. I think it was Forrest Gump. Life ain't nothing but a box of chocolates or something. And I was thinking, you know, this is a time in the life of our church that in a lot of ways is like a bowl of fudge. Things are good. Let me read for you from Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. And we say, wow, that's great. Look at that early church. Things are humming along. Thank you, brother. The Lord is gracious. He's adding to their number. There's no need within the church. God is providing all that these people need. And yet in the very next chapter, after you read about Joseph, who gets the name Barnabas, son of encouragement, for his financial gift, we read about Ananias and Sapphira, who sold a piece of land, and then, because of the deceitfulness in their hearts, acted like they were bringing all the proceeds to the church when they were only bringing part. And they lied to the Holy Spirit, and both of them were struck dead. Now, there's many lessons in that, but clearly one of them is that God is not interested in us faking blessing or acting as if things are better than they are. He is all for us living in reality. And so, as a church, we seek to live in reality financially, and we budget ourselves. It's a good idea for you and your family to do, too. You can sit down and you can just figure out, this is how much money we anticipate coming in a year, and this is how much we anticipate spending. And all of us understand that there are exigencies and interferences with that. Sometimes we have to spend on things we never planned for. Other times, things don't cost as much as we thought they were going to cost. But wise stewards are those who are careful with their finances, and we try to be this way as much as we can as a church family, ensuring that what we do is honoring to the Lord. We've distributed for you a 2-page sheet, and I want to just walk you through that so you are aware of where we stand financially, as well as where we intend and hope to go by God's grace and in full acknowledgement of His sovereign will in the coming year. What you have before you is a quick fact sheet. This is not an official copy of minutes. We had a member meeting on Wednesday night where these things were all approved and accepted. And so if you would like to see more information, we'll get that available for you. We just don't have the minutes done yet. We had a Sunday night meeting, a Wednesday night meeting, and then tonight. And then our minutes will be coming out in the next week or so. But let me give you some facts of the past fiscal year, meaning we budget beginning in June 1st, and that's very purposeful. As a church, things slow down in summers. If you're in Ontario, everything slows down in the summer. And so what we try to do is have the first 2 months of our fiscal year, June and July, well, really into August even, as a lot of planning time for the coming year, because come September, everything comes fast and furious. So we budget from June 1st all the way to the end of May. That's our fiscal year. It doesn't run equal to the calendar year, which would be from kids. What's the first month of the year?
January
is an excellent answer. And what's the last month of the year? December. So in our church year, we go from June to May. Is anybody confused? You should be. I am. Okay. Let me just show you some of the things that happened in the past year, ending up on May 31st, just a few weeks ago. We have a total of $19,600 in our Mozambique fund. Our goal was to raise $35,000, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. The total monies given to Grace Fellowship Church, not including Mozambique, were $107,894. That makes sense? $107,894 given to Grace Fellowship Church in the past year. Now, we budgeted to spend $95,678. That makes sense? At the start of last year, we said we think it's going to cost this much to do church for a year. And so we have a budget with line items. You'll see that in a minute. And it just kind of breaks everything down. So you can see right away that more money was given to the church than we had anticipated receiving. That's a good thing. Everyone at this point should say amen.
Amen.
Yes, that's a good thing. Okay, let's try that one more time. That's a good thing.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you. Our total actual expenditures, so the money that we actually spent last year, was $92,420. So we spent $3,000, basically, less than we budgeted. So, that's a good thing, too. Yes.
Amen.
Yeah, attaboy, Pete. Get us going here. We need some southern blood in here. We release you to amen is to at free at will, Peter. So our total actual expenditure is $92,420. So where it says money's taken in and not spent, I'm trying to make that as clear as I can. You'll see that we brought in $12,000 more than we budgeted. We spent $3,000 less than we budgeted, which gives us $15,000 at the end of the year that we had not budgeted for nor spent. That's cash in hand, if you like, at the end of the year. Although cash in hand might mean something to accountants, and I don't mean whatever you think I mean. I just mean this. Now, in our annual meeting, the elders recommended to the congregation members that a portion of that $15,000 be spent on the following things. And we're very excited about each of these. Number one, we have long wanted to free someone up to do community evangelistic work. We are not an entirely community-based church. Most of you are driving into church, and some of you from a fair distance. We have done evangelism in our community in the past. Generally, that was generated by myself, and I have just found that more is taking up that time, and so we agreed that if we could identify someone just to free up for the summer and to pour energy into community evangelism, door-to-door, sports evangelism, whatever that person is gifted to do. We did not specify the parameters of it. And the Lord brought Paul McDonald to our church and opened up that opportunity. So we were pleased to have Paul, and he's been working already a couple weeks, and has gotten most of every house in this neighborhood knocked on the door and has made contact with people, has shared the gospel with numbers of people on the bus stops and nearby. He and Steve have been shooting hoops, I know, and meeting some young guys over here at the park. And this is a great thing because we're just wanting to free him up to be able to do that ministry for a couple days a week. And he's done a great job so far. So that was one area that we thought, here's something we can do right away to meet a current need. We also wanted to do some work in the school. In the past, we've done the work and the schools bought the materials. We thought it might be a nice gesture of love toward the school, which has been very good at renting to us. You can't really get a better relationship. You know, if we don't do things quite right, they'll just say, hey, next time you can do it this way. There's no grinding. It's very free. We're able to say to them, could you do this and that? And they're very accommodating. So we wanted to express our love toward them. And we're going to do some painting. And you'll get on your handout, I think, that you got this morning is a date for our work day. I think it's Thursday, July 19. Is that right?
Yes.
Where's your assistant when you need him? Parenting. Oh, okay.
He can do that.
We also decided to increase our Mozambique fund by $2,000 because, now I'm going to explain some things with Mozambique, not in great detail. If you'd like more detail, you can speak to myself or Julian or Murray. Most of the members will be able to explain this to you as well. What we did not know when we started supporting the Woodrows is that the government of Canada would not let us do it. They are not a recognized charity by the Canadian government, and by law, we're forbidden from giving to them. So we had already given them $3,000, and before we found out this information, we quickly joined the Canadian Council of Christian Charities and sought advice, of which they told us, look, your charity, you were exercising due diligence at the time, but you can't give any more because now you know, and you'll be fine. You just explain it to them, and everything will be fine. So we had $2,000 that we had earmarked for the Woodrows that we could not get to them. You say, well, then why are you putting it in the Mozambique Fund? Ah, what an excellent question you've asked. The reason is this. We think we might have found a way to get that money to the Woodrows. We have been praying fervently. In fact, I urged our members Wednesday night and exhorted them to make this a matter of extreme prayer. Thursday morning, I got an email from Charles Woodrow, who sent me the information to a non-government organization here in Canada that would be glad to take the money. However, they said, we're not a charity, so we can't take it. But in the email, he said, we have applied for charitable status and expect to hear any day. So, you can jot this down. There's a non-NGO called Kokamo, C-O-C-A-M-O, C-O-C-A-M-O. Kokamo. Kokamo is an NGO that works only in Mozambique that is in awe of what Charles Woodrow has done in that country in the last 10, 12 years, wants to help him however they can, and is thrilled to take our money and give it to Charles. So, they need to get charitable status. So pray that God gives Kokamo charitable status, and as soon as they do, that money's off to them. If it becomes impossible for us to give the money directly to the Woodrows, then we will bring another proposal to the members and the church at large on some form of foreign mission to which we can direct those funds. We feel those are given in good earnest for foreign mission work, and we want that to be directed to foreign mission work. So, that was the increase to the Mozambique Fund. We have a voice amplification system, sound system, which is a great thing that we discovered. I discovered when I was down in Oregon. And part of the reason for this is not many people are as loud as me, and you're all saying amen to that as well. I get nothing here. Okay. You all say amen to that.
Amen.
Still partial. We want to help. We're not creating a mega band here. We're big believers in that the voice of the people is what we want to hear, but to aid in that, we've been toying with all kinds of different things. There's not much to work with here in this 50-year-old school with its 50-year-old sound system, and so we are going to be doing some work there. We also have a CD duplicator and labeler, and that is really to ease the pressure on Doreen, who is getting more and more requests for CDs of sermons that are available to you anytime you want one. This labeler producer thing does 8 at a time, and that frees Doreen from having to go and do one at a time in his computer at home. He'll be able to have them within, I think, like 5 minutes after a service. 5, 10 minutes. 15 minutes. I don't know. No pressure, Doreen. No pressure. And then we wanted to chalk up on some evangelism supplies. We're pretty much out of our tracts and Bibles and books and things like that. So that's a total of $9,750 that we'll be spending right away. And those, again, that's out of that $15,000. The rest of that money will be kept in reserve because we always like to have some there as well for different reasons. I'll explain some of them as we go. If you go over the page, it says our intentions for the new fiscal year. We do church very purposefully. We're not into reinventing ourselves every year. We're not into like finding the next big program to jump on and, you know, just go crazy with. We just want to be doing what we think the scriptures say to do. So We're committed to the worship of God, the proclamation of His Word, the evangelism of the lost, the training of children, prayer, teaching, singing, reading the Word, ongoing work of making disciples. That's what we want to be about. And as you've heard me say many times, if you do that and you do it well, you've accomplished great things in the kingdom of God. Don't cut yourself short. There's all kinds of things to distract. You do those things and you do them well, and you've done great things in the kingdom of God. So there are four areas that we want to focus on, give our attention to in the coming year. Number one, facility awareness. We had 131 people in the gym today. Amen. Thank you, brother. Where are you, Pete? You're getting beat by the guy in the funny shirt. I don't know. The funny guy in the shirt. There was about 30 of us when we came to the gym. So 130 people is getting crowded, and you feel the heat. And so we're very aware of that and trying to determine what the Lord would have us to do, because we definitely want to church plant in 2009, and we'd love for some of you to be a part of that and to leave us and to go away and help plant a church, and some of you to stay. That would be nice. But we're not sure whether to, you know, just muscle it out in the gym, go to double services, or look for something else. And so we are putting it out there as an emphasis for prayer in the coming year. We've been praying for just over a year that the Lord would provide for us our own meeting place for free. And we want to keep praying that and step that up a little bit and say, keep your eyes open for churches or for buildings, for facilities. We don't want to get stuck pouring all of our money into buildings. We pay, if you look down there, it's about $8,000 a year, more, maybe $9,000 a year in rent, which is nothing. We have no utilities other than phone. So that's great. And we like that, because then monies can be used toward ministry. If we can find something bigger at that price, we'd be very interested. So that is how you ought to pray. We're also looking at the beginning of a small group, or you might have heard them called cell groups or care groups, or whatever groups. Whatever you have in your mind as that being, it's not that. Because, frankly, a lot of people have very different ideas when you say those terms. They think, you know, it's a Bible study, or it's this, you know, share your pain session, or whatever. I mean, and I don't mean to mock any of those things, but we have a very definitive idea of what we hope for our small group ministry. And we're going to be, we started a small group already, made up of the elders and Julian and Stacy. And we've been meeting every week with the goal of training ourselves to be good small group leaders. And then we'll start with three groups. And we'll be asking many of you to be a part of those groups. We're not going to be able to get everyone. And then our goal is then to flip those groups again and split and keep adding and groups and adding leaders. The desire is that by doing this, we address some of the things we feel that we're a little bit weak at. Number one, because a lot of us are commuting into church, it's very easy to be disengaged from Sunday to Sunday. And we want to aid in that, in helping build relationships between Christians so that we can encourage one another, build each other up, hold each other accountable, work with one another in the sanctifying of our souls before the Lord, helping each other in our marriages, in our singleness, in our life as a student, or whatever it might be, and getting a structure in place that aids that. So we're going to give more details as fall comes, because we're looking at a fall start date. But we wanted you to be aware that's something that we're pouring a lot of attention into. We're reading and, like I said, kind of experimenting and writing and putting things together so that we know exactly where we're going. But we think this is the further we go down this path, the more we believe this is exactly where the Lord would have us to go. We're really of one mind that this is very important in the life of our church. When you're 30 people, and that includes kids, you can get around and see all the adults every Sunday. And you can have a certain level of relationship. It may not be the deepest, but you can still make contact. Whereas when you're 130 people, you can't. You just can't get around to everybody. You can't keep that level of relationship. And so we want to be sure that as the Lord seems to be continuing to just grow us, we just keep growing slowly but surely. We want to be putting structures in place that facilitate the best ministry possible to the glory of God. We'll also be giving more attention to our children, our youth ministries, Grace Kids and Grace Youth. We've designated more funds for those. We're working through the summer to just really refine those things and pour lots of attention and energy into those ministries. And I'm very excited about what's going on there. We're looking to add new deacons, and we've begun the process of adding Julian as an elder. So he'll be stepping out of the diaconate and moving into the eldership. And so that whole process has been instituted as of Wednesday night. So as you can see, apart from one kind of ministry focus change to the small groups, which will be coming in the fall, really what we hope to spend much time on is improving the few things we already do. We just want to get better at what we do and refine those and keep making them better and better to the glory of God. And we really think that's wise in the sense that we don't want to overextend ourselves, nor do we want to just let things exist without looking at them again and revamping and trying to improve and do all things with excellence. In order to facilitate all of these goals, we presented a budget to the members for their approval. The budget that we presented was altered on one line item by a motion to increase the hours and the compensation to our pastoral assistant, to Julian. So we had proposed increasing his time from 2 days to 3 days, and the members felt that that needed to really go to 4 days. There was a whole bunch of reasons for that. One, we wanted to be sure to free him to continue and finish up his seminary. 3 days, he was going to have to get other work that probably would have prohibited that. There's just, with more people, there's more work, there's more administrative responsibility. There was a whole slew of reasons in that decision. So our new budget, approved by our members, reflects the following. Our 2007-2008 budget is a total of $118,592,000. That's an increase, a 24% increase from our last year's budget. So last year we budgeted 95.6. This year we're budgeting 118.5. But if you look at what was given last year, it's just $10,000 more, $10,700. So it works out to about a 10% increase from what was actually given to the church financially last year, excluding all the Mozambique stuff. That makes our total monthly need as a church. And by the way, this is pretty much the only time we talk about money as a church, so if that's freaking you out and you've not been here before, we don't talk about it. You know, so this is your time to learn about it. Our total monthly need will be $9,883. Last year's total monthly need was $7,973. So that 24% increase breaks down to $1,900 more per month. That makes sense? And again, if you compare that to, if you average out the actual, what was actually given last year, you just divide it by 12, then you find out that what we're really looking for is an $892 increase in our giving from the average of last year's giving. That 10% increase. If you flip over the page, you'll see one that looks like this called Expenses Compared to Budget. And that's for your perusal, that you can see where our monies are spent. And in column E, that's how much money we actually spent. In column G, that's how much we budgeted. And in column I, it tells you how much we were off, which is a real help to us in the next year budgeting so that we figure out how to get it accurate. And you'll see the bottom of column I around line 48. I-48. Somebody going to say? You sunk my battleship. In I-48, you'll see that we are $3,257. We spent that much less than we took in. That's a good way to live, spending less than you make, in case you hadn't figured that out. And then the Mozambique Fund is down there. If you flip over the page, you'll see our approved budget for 2007-2008. It's over in column F, and you can track through our 05, 06, 06, 07, and then you'll see our 07, 08 budget. And you can see the increases and how those have broken down. We really believe that the onus is on the membership for the making of a budget. We're thankful for all who give, but we look to our members as ones who have approved the budget to be the ones who supply the budget. And so we trust that that will be the case. And as anytime there is an increase, there is a call upon all of us to look at what we give and to consider that in the biblical parameters. Am I giving sacrificially? Am I giving liberally? Am I giving cheerfully? These are all commands from the Lord, so that what we give voluntarily. You're not under obligation. We do not take an accounting of what you, well, we do, but the treasurer does. As elders, we don't know. We only asked to be indicated from the treasurer if there's a member who stops giving. And that can be indicative of many things. It could be financial trouble, or it could be someone's disgruntled or whatever. So if there's a sudden change in giving patterns, we ask to be indicated. We don't want to know by dollar amounts. We just like to know so that in case something's going on we don't know about, we can have some insight into that person's soul. And I'm thankful that over the years the Lord has always provided for us. This is our seventh year now. When we started Grace Fellowship Church, our budget was take in money and save it. And then we started adding little things and started a little bit of salary, and things have just added over the years. And to see where we are now is really very humbling and surprising in many ways. And every year at this time, my nature is very cautious. So if it was, I don't want to say it that way. I was going to say if it's all up to me. I mean, it makes it sound like there's division, and there's not division. It's just I learn from those who are around me. I tend to be very conservative and very cautious. And so every year we've increased, and every year I think, oh, Lord, really? But I'm glad for it because it makes me pray. And I trust it will make you pray, that the Lord will provide for what we have thought are our needs as a congregation, and that He'll bring Himself glory by doing it. And He has done it in the past, so maybe I need to learn to have more faith. Any questions or anything you'd like to know that I've not covered, this would be a great time to ask them. If you're thinking it, somebody else probably is too. Yeah, our evangelism supplies are available for anybody. So we just don't have them yet. Paul's actually going to look after the purchase of most of those. And so if you have ideas, if that's what you're thinking, I'm not sure where we're getting some from Way of the Master and getting some Bibles. We're looking. Paul's met a lot of Italian Roman Catholics in this area, our direct neighborhood. So some Italian tracts and that type of thing. Jack. Because they have an existing presence in Mozambique. They have offices in Mozambique. They actually work in Mozambique. And that's the huge gap. Yeah. If we wanted to hold the deed to the bookstore, the book ministry room, we could do it too. It's just we don't want to be involved at that level. We want to be able to get the money to Charles, let him hold all of that stuff. We don't want to have to be giving reports to the government on how much the property devalued this year. I mean, that kind of stuff. It's not wise. We're not in the position to do that. So that's the huge difference. If someone were to travel there and directly give them the money, yeah, it is illegal. As a charity, we've received funds that we have receded, and therefore we can only give to charitable causes that are recognized by the government of Canada. Trust me, we have exhausted every possible option for the last 3 months or so trying to figure out some way to get this done. And I really want to urge you to pray. It would just be tremendous that the Lord would open the door for this money to get there. Let me add this. I forgot to say this. We come up then with about $22,000 for the Woodrows. We were aiming for 35. Another church, unbeknownst to us, unbeknownst to Charles, was saving money, contacted him a couple of weeks ago and said, "We have $14,000. Can you use it?" If you do the math, that works out to $36,000. So, it seems very difficult to think that the Lord would have us have that perfect other half and not be able to get it to Him. I just really think and believe the Lord's going to make a way for us to get that money to Him somehow.
Amen.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. So we thank the Lord for all of you and what you give, and trust that, you know, we do right by the Lord's money, and it's our goal to be honoring to Him and to please Him with all that He gives us. And if you have any questions at all, if you want to see the official books, you can talk to Stacy and you can look at those. If you're an accounting mind and you like to see dollars and cents, that's all open. We don't have anything to hide, is my point. So now you know where we're going and what we hope to do. Well, let's take a moment to pray, and then the guys will come and lead us in some songs to close our day. Lord, as we stand on the threshold of a new fiscal year for us, you know what will happen 2 days from now. You have decreed what will happen 1 year from now. And all that you do will be good and right. It'll be for our good and your glory. And so we pray that you would give us hearts to look to you. We pray that you would provide all that we need. And if we don't need this much, then we will be confident that you've given us what we need. If we need more, we'll be confident it is because you have more plans for us. But whatever the case, Lord, we pray that we would be wise and faithful stewards of all that you have given to us. And I pray, Father, that you would receive glory in this coming year, and that as we continue on our path, that more and more we would see you, and that we would know you. Father, I thank you so much for my brothers and sisters, and thank you for this church, my church. I'm so glad to be a member here myself, and even if I didn't get to preach, I'd be here. And I pray that you would keep working away at all of us, uniting our hearts together and leading us closer and closer to yourself. And may Jesus Christ be praised in this place. Make it so for the glory of your name, Father. Amen.